Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
You ever played peekaboo with a baby? Anybody in the room ever played peekaboo with a baby? You know, you get down next to it, you go, peekaboo, and then you put your hand up, and then you go, peekaboo. You know, you do it again, and you take your hand away, and the baby's face goes, where'd he go? Where'd he go? And then you go, peekaboo, and they go, ah, right? Right? That's why it's fun, right? It's fun to do. I see a little baby down there. I'm going to go, peekaboo, I see you. Anyway, you know, that's what we do when babies. And psychologists tell us that it's actually a healthy game to play with infants. And it's something we do instinctively, but it's something that's actually healthy for the infant, because what it teaches the infant is just because they don't see your face doesn't mean you aren't present. Do you get that? Just because the infant can't see you at that moment doesn't mean you don't exist. Because remember, they're developing cognitive abilities to be able to think about situations like this. So peekaboo is actually a healthy game because it teaches that that even though an authority figure or the security figure is out of sight, it doesn't mean they're not in existence. You ever been that way with God? Come on, anybody ever been that way with God? It's peekaboo with God, and God's playing peekaboo with you. That's how it feels, and it feels like he's nowhere to be found. And you know, something will happen, and you'll feel a little bit of his presence, and then all of a sudden, it'll be like he's nowhere again. What I want to talk to you about today is I want to talk to you about that moment of FaceTime, when you're face-to-face with God. In a relationship with God, there's times that maybe his face seems blocked from you, but that doesn't mean he doesn't exist. And what I want to talk to you about is what God's will is. You see, God's will all the way back at the beginning was to be face-to-face with you. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, when the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden, but the Lord called to the man, where are you? So what's going on here in this story is God has a relationship with Adam and Eve, and he's showing up every day, and he's taking walks with them and talking to them and spending FaceTime with them, and they're talking with him, and he's talking with them, and, you know, they're just having this dialogue back and forth, right? And this dialogue is going on, him with them and them with him, and they're talking about the ruling and running of the universe or whatever it is, you know, whether or not the pear tree needs some extra pruning. I don't know what was going on, but they were having talks, and God looked for it and liked it. So one day, Adam and Eve, they got this feeling that God was holding out on them. And Satan came to them and said, hey, God knows that one tree he told you not to have. If you have that one tree, he knows you're gonna get something good. So God's holding out on you. So the whole beginning of the problem begins when you begin to think that God is holding out on you. So they begin to think God's holding out on them. And then what happened? Well, they ate of the tree. But sure enough, as soon as they ate of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil came into them, and they saw that they had broken that face-to-face relationship with God. So when God showed up, that relationship was broken. Now, I had a dog. I called him Satan. My kids called him Toby. But one day, this dog got mad at me. I don't know. He thought I was holding out on him. I don't know what he thought. But anyway, the dog one day, I'm gone for a little bit, and the dog, well, when I come home, I open the door. I'm like, Toby, where are you? Dog nowhere to be found. I'm like, where in the world's the dog? Why won't the dog come out and see me? You know, Toby, where are you? So then I go upstairs, and when I go upstairs, you have to understand, the dog was not allowed upstairs in our house. But while we were gone, because he was mad at me, he went upstairs, and he left me a present right in front of the door into my room. So I'm really looking for the dog now. And he's nowhere to be found. You know why he's nowhere to be found? Because he knew he had done wrong, and he was hiding. That's called shame, and that's called guilt. Come on, you've done it. You've seen it, you know. You've done it. You have a relationship with a person. You do something stupid about them, and then they call you, and you're like, I don't think I want to take that phone call. Right? So it's called FaceTime. It's that time where God wants to be face-to-face with us, and that relationship, that wrong thing has blocked us and filled us with shame and guilt so that we don't even want to take his call. We don't want to interact with him. Sin caused them to hide from the face of God, and that broke that relationship of FaceTime. That was God's intention from the beginning. Now let's go all the way to the end of eternity. All the way at the end, what is God's will? In Revelation 22, 3 and 4, no longer will there be any curse. So when the curse that broke that face-to-face relationship is removed, and no longer will there be any curse, what is going to happen? The throne and God, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his, what will they see? His face. They're going to be back to face-to-face relationship with God. So the people of God in eternity, God's will for all eternity is to spend time face-to-face with you. Not just in a corner, not just peekaboo occasionally, but face-to-face, like back in the day when he intended us to be face-to-face, when the curse is removed, we'll be back to face-to-face. Now, we live in this in-between time. We live in this time that's in between. You know, Adam and Eve goofed it up, thank you very much, and removed us from the presence of God, and we're not yet in eternity. So now we live somewhere in that in-between where God desires to have a real relationship with us, but he can't because there's a problem. That problem is shame and guilt and sin. We have broken relationship with God. We've all done it. Now, I have relational issues with people occasionally, believe that or not. And not too long ago, I had a relational issue with somebody. And so I try to contact them to reestablish relationship, but it was a little difficult getting through to them. Because, can I talk to you about communication in the 21st century for a second? We live in the 21st century. You guys know that? Can I get really practical on you good? I'm going to get really practical, so just listen. All right, pay attention. We live in the 21st century. Let me give you some rules for contact in the 21st century. First of all, basic rules for texting. If it takes over three sentences or four texts, just call. Really, if you've got to dictate or type this long text, just give me a call. Leave me a voicemail. Tell me I don't have to call you back. But come on, communicate with me, because how many of you know a text never creates context? It doesn't create context. I know. It's easier, and you don't have to deal with people, but the fact of the matter is you don't deal with people. There's no context. They can't hear in your voice whether you're angry, whether you're happy, whether you're just matter of fact. So if it takes more than three texts, or more than four texts or three sentences, just call. And one more thing. Relationally, I'm going to help you out, all right? Those of you that have relationships with, especially with your spouse or your significant other, never fight over texts. Never fight over texts. If you got something to say, say it in a way that they can actually hear it and respond to it, because I don't know when you send me a text what it means, right? Has anybody ever gotten a text from somebody and you think they're a jerk and their auto-correct voice just put in the wrong word? Yeah, all right. Y'all are half awake. Are y'all with me? Come on, I'm talking about communication in the 21st century. Be careful with texting. Texting is for passing information only. Let's talk about rules for your phone. If the person is under age 30, text them first. Because they won't respond to your phone call. So text them first and tell them, hey, you got a couple of minutes to talk. And then you can talk to them. I just think that's amazing. You know, how hard is it to hit two buttons and call? But now we have to text first to find out whether or not we can call. But if you're under 30, it's just how it is. Call a person to small talk. Never call a person to handle a real problem. So the person I had this relational problem with, I texted them. I said, hey, you got a few minutes to talk. And they sent me back, just call me. So I called on the phone. I said, hey, I'd like to get together and talk to you. And they said, well, talk to me now. We're on the phone. I said, I don't think you understand. I want to talk to you. Because communication does no good. All right, come on. If I preach this sermon, and I preached it like this the entire time, And I said to you, God wants to have a relationship with you. You're all gone, aren't you? Because is this face-to-face looking at you, seeing who's awake and who's not, enables me, and I can tell who I'm ticking off. I'm going to tick some of you off in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to tick some of you off really, really bad. I'm going to look up, I'm going to see who I ticked off, and I'll know because it shows on your face. It does. And you can lie to me over a text or over a phone call, but if I'm looking at you and I said, so come on, man, tell me the truth. Uh-oh, right there. We're gonna have a talk later on, Chad. No, I'm just messing with you. You know what I'm saying? There's this dynamic face-to-face that you do not get any other way. And we as a culture, what we've done is we have so computerized our world and we've so isolated ourselves, we pull into our garages and close the garage door and never interact with anybody. You remember when houses had front porches? And there used to be front porches, and it was too hot because nobody had air conditioning, so you actually, during the summer, you would walk around and talk to people and get to know people. Now you drive in your air-conditioned car into your garage, close the garage door, walk into your air-conditioned house, trying not to talk to anybody in your neighborhood. So, basic rules for social media. Can I give you a couple of those since I'm dealing with the 21st century? This is just really simple. Just because you're friends with a person doesn't mean that you're friends. Did you know that? I have lots of friends on Facebook. I only have a couple of friends. Right? Just because you... All right, are y'all ready for this one? The number of likes or lack of number of likes does not determine your significance. Did you know that? That people might actually have a life and not be looking at their Instagram pictures of you? Or maybe they just are tired of seeing your 45 posts and they just go right past you. It's not that we don't care about you as a person. I know this is way too practical, isn't it? But can I tell you, unless it's a big event, limit your posts to maybe 2 or 3 a day. Because we do not need to know everything about your bathroom habits. We don't need to know every meal you eat. Come on, stop it already. And one other thing, y'all ready for this one? If you won't say it to my face, don't you dare put it on social media. If you wouldn't look me in the eye and say it to my face, don't you dare put it out there for the world. Those of you that want to have a job someday, I refuse to hire anybody I don't read their Instagram and Facebook and Twitter feeds. Do you know why? Because if they're a jerk there, guess what? They'll be in our office. Did I go? Do you know you can't get a job now at a real reputable institution that they don't check your social media? So those pictures of you, those 45 duck pictures in the mirror, really? Do you know what they think? I'm going to tell you what they think. What would a potential employee think if they go on and you've got 45,000 pictures of yourself in different poses of the same? What do they think? Come on. They think you're an egomaniac. So what we don't realize is this, is that our communication is a valid communication. And if you really want to have a relationship with a person, you don't do it with duck pictures. You don't do it that way. How do you have a real relationship with a person? You actually talk to them. Just one final thing, one final picture. I found this one. This was a card that I saw. You ever been to dinner with somebody or hanging out with somebody and they're texting somebody they don't even like while they're hanging out with you? Like, what are you doing? We have lost the ability to be present in our relationships, and we are a relationship-deficient culture, and I think it is a ploy of the devil to keep us from having a relationship with God. Because we don't know how to be face-to-face anymore, so we're comfortable with the facade of relationships, so in our relationship with God, we're all right with the facade of religion instead of having a real relationship. So the gospel is not about rules. It's not about a facade. It's about having a healthy relationship with the people. You see, God couldn't wait to talk to you face to face until eternity. I don't think you got this. he lost it back here, and God couldn't wait till eternity to get back to face-to-face communication with you. So I'm going to ask you to stand today in honor of God's word, and we're going to read the scripture that tells us what God did about this problem. It's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and it says simply this: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him, what will they call him? Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means literally what? God with us. So Emmanuel means God with us. God couldn't talk to us face to face because the curse got in the way. And the curse is not yet done away with. So what did he do in the meantime? Because you see, God couldn't stand not talking to you. I once dated a girl. Her parents, they gave each other the silent treatment. And literally, I was over at her house one time for a week. They didn't say a word to each other. Needless to say, I did not continue my relationship with that girl because she didn't know how to talk about any problems. Are y'all with me? The way to deal with life is face-to-face communication. And God wanted it so bad, he didn't stay up in heaven and he didn't leave it a problem. He came to have a talk. Father, I pray that today you would bless your word and our hearts would be open. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You can be seated. All right, so let me do this quickly. There are two realities we can take from the truth of Jesus coming to earth, of God coming to earth. First of all, God wants FaceTime. Now, occasionally God broke through the whole they can't see my face and live thing. Y'all have heard that, right? Nobody can see the face of God and live. And occasionally God would just say, but I miss him. I want to talk to him. So he would come down and he would pick somebody out, like this loser named Jacob, who stole from all of his brothers, who stole from his father-in-law, who stole everywhere he went. He was a deceiver. He was a guy who did wrong. He was a guy that was a loser. And God saw this guy and he said, you know what? I think he's got a good heart. So I'm going to go down and I'm going to have a talk with him. They talked over the time and Jacob was mad at God. You're holding out from me your blessings and blah, blah, blah. And God's having a relationship. And finally, one day, God shows up in Genesis 32:30 and it says, so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face and yet my life was spared. And when Jacob left that day of talking to God face to face, he was no longer Jacob. He was now Israel, the one who is struggling with God and overcomes, not the one who is a deceiver of the people around. So his fight went from earth to earth, from earth to heaven, and he was having a fight with God the rest of his life. And God says, I like it. I like it when you fight with me. I like it when you argue with me. I like it when you talk to me about it. And he talked to him face to face. And Jacob was never the same. And we are descendants of Jacob spiritually because of that fight. Because he saw God face to face. He changed eternity because he fought with God and talked to him face to face. There was another guy, Exodus 33:7-11. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away. And he called it the tent of meeting. And as Moses went into the tent, a pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And the Lord would speak to Moses. Come on, how would God speak with Moses? Face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. So God was showing up with, come on. Let's think about this for a second. I'm a bit of a knucklehead at times. Anybody else a knucklehead? Could you imagine? You've heard stories at least of the children of Israel. They're slaves in Egypt and they leave Egypt and they go out and they're in the wilderness and they're walking around and they're trying to act like slaves again, and God set them free, and God's providing for their needs, and they complain about his provision. Come on, y'all have heard these stories, right? So Moses is leading a bunch of knuckleheads like me. Just a total knucklehead. Anybody else a knucklehead? Could you imagine what it would be like on Moses leading a bunch of knuckleheads like that? Come on, he's going in, and he's trying to talk to God. Can you imagine what their talks would be like? God, what am I going to do about Joe over there? He's such an idiot. You know, I told him not to live with that girl before he got married, but no, Joe thinks he knows better than God and all the statistics of the government. Joe thinks he's always the exception. God, what do I do about Joe, who is always the exception, that can't deal with the fact that he's wrong? Oh, did I go there? What do I do with Joe? What do I do with Sue? Oh, my goodness. Sue. It doesn't matter what I do. Nothing makes Sue happy. She gripes constantly. What am I supposed to do with Sue? I don't know how to make her happy. Can you imagine Moses talking this way to God and God saying, Moses, I told you to confront Joe. I told you to kick Sue out of the camp. Why didn't you do it? Maybe the reason you're not getting your answers about them is because you're not obeying what I'm telling you to do, boy. Maybe you don't talk to God that way, but that's how God talks to me. Because, hold on, wait. You want God to fix all your problems, and God's saying, you fix what I told you to fix first, and I'll take care of them. And that's what's going on in this conversation. Can you imagine this? Moses having these conversations with God, and God's like pushing back on. It's not just praying, you know, Moses talking to the top of the room, but God actually there giving him pushback on his thoughts. I think I would like a relationship with God that was more like that and less like come to church, sit down, stand up, say your cross, shut up, go out the door and give your 5 cents you were bad. Wouldn't it be great to have a relationship with God that had that kind of life and depth to it? Because that's what God wants. You see, he had rules against that because they broke the law. They can't see my face. And yet he kept picking people out to talk to him because God wants to talk to people. He wants to talk to you. I don't have time to talk about how Gideon saw God's face and Elijah and the others in the Old Testament, but the thought of FaceTime became such a strong understanding that became a blessing that was pronounced upon the children of Israel. In Numbers chapter 6, 24, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his what? Come on. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord do what? He turn his face towards you and to give you peace. So when God's face is there, you get peace, you get blessing, you get favor. See, we're so busy pursuing God's hand and his power and his miracles and his provision and his feel good that we forget that it all comes from having a face-to-face relationship, not a face-to-hand relationship. David understood this. In Psalm 27, he says, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, will I seek. Now, one time, years ago, I'm in my house. And I'm sitting there reading because I like to read. Even if I'm watching TV, I'm usually doing something else because I'm so ADHD, I can't just do one thing at a time. So I'm reading a book. And I got one of my kids. This is when my kids were young. And one of them's going like, does anybody's kids ever do that? Only when they're young, right? Right? They get to be teenagers. They're like, hi, how was your day? Hey, get back down here and talk to me, right? But yeah, when they're little, you can't shut them up. I swear the Energizer battery is going on and on. Where can I unplug it? Especially the little kids. So anyway, I'm sitting there reading, and one of my kids is just going, and I'm trying to pay attention to what I'm reading. I'm probably watching a football game at the same time, and they're going on. Finally, the kid crawls up on my lap, pushes the book out of my side, reaches over, grabs my face, and turns and says, Daddy, I want to talk to you. Because they understood something. Face-to-face meant that I was engaged with them, not all the other stuff. And God wants to be face-to-face with you. You know, Rob and I, our first kiss, we waited a long time for our first kiss. I decided I was going to do this relationship right. Come on, I was going to do this one right. We were going to be pure. We were going to do it right. I was going to honor her from day one. I was going to treat her like a lady. I didn't hold her hand for weeks, and she must have thought there was weird. So we're out for a walk, and we're walking down a back street in Arkham, Oklahoma, with the dogs nipping at our heels. And I don't know if Arkham is not really the nicest place in the world, and it was sort of a most unromantic walk in the world. But I turned her around, reached down, grabbed her face, and gave her a kiss right on the lips. And she said to me, why'd you do that? She has great responses to all my advances. And anyway, I asked her to marry me, and she said, I'm still waiting on a yes. I said, will you marry me? And she said, let's set a date. I'm still waiting on a yes. I never got a yes. Anyway, my point in that is that, you know, the intimacy that we passed a line in that moment when we went face to face. You know, up until then, it's pretty weird if I were, you know, I just walk up to Dan and say, "Hi, Dan, how you doing today? Good to see you." Oh, why'd you turn? Come on. Oh, it ain't happening, he says. That's sort of weird, isn't it? Right? Why y'all laughing? Because it's so out of the ordinary, because it's uncomfortable, because it's so intimate. And yet we share our intimacy with every Tom, Dick, and Harry in this world, and we don't press into intimacy with God that's desiring that closeness of a face-to-face relationship. I think we're missing something here because we're trying to get our affirmation in all the wrong locations. Second thing it tells us about God is we see God in the face of Jesus. And that's revealed in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. There's a lot in this chapter. I'll make it like 2 minutes, all right? Moses, when he saw God face to face, he would spend time in the presence of God. And when he'd walk out, there would be an aura about him, a glory, all right? And that glory was on him. And he would put a veil over his face because what would happen is the first knucklehead he ran into would say, "Moses, you took too much time praying today and we didn't get blah, blah, blah done." And that glory went away. And he didn't want to see the people to see how much all the cares and stuff of life steal that glory from you. So he would put a veil over his face. And what we read is, it's in 2 Corinthians 3:13, we are not like Moses who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. You see, what happened was back in the garden when we lost our relationship with God, we lost the opportunity to walk in that glory continually. So Moses gets in it for a second and he walks out and the glory starts fading. And that's representative of the law and the rules and all the stuff that they lived under in those days. But there's something that happened. You see, the law, the rules of the Bible, and the law is sort of like reading a Harlequin romance or something like that, and never having a relationship with a person. You know, all you ladies reading these romance books, or guys, or whatever it is, you're reading all these romance books. Come on, it's just female porn. Seriously. If you use that to get your emotional buzz and your relational buzz instead of having it with a person, that's the same thing as a guy using pictures to give him an emotional buzz instead of having a real relationship with his wife. You don't like it when he does that to you, but yet you do that to him by looking for a buzz by whatever movie it is that you got to watch to give you, I told you some of you were going to get mad at me in a couple of minutes, and I can see it on some of your faces. You're like, "How dare he say that? He doesn't know what he's talking about." Okay. I'm just simply saying, though, why would you pass? I'll tell you what, it's easier to have a fake relationship with some guy in a book or some woman on a screen than it is to have a real relationship with an imperfect human being that you got a dialogue about that problem. And we live in a world where we're all fake all the time. We're so uncomfortable with the real relationships, we don't connect to the real relationship. We're like we're in the law. You know, we got a bunch of things we do to make it all right, rather than actually doing what you need to do, which is have a real relationship. And when Jesus showed up, it says that Jesus changed how even Moses would have dealt with God, because in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his glory shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ." So what it is in Christ we can now walk in that glory and in that presence. All right, 15 different places to go, but let me just go there. All right. God's will is to have a relationship with you, a real face-to-face relationship, not a religious duty, a relationship with you. That is his will. That is his purpose. That is his plan. You can trace it throughout Scripture. That is what he wants. Do you know what sin is? Sin is an archery term. It means literally to miss a mark. So let's say I'm shooting a gun, and there's a target down there, and I shoot the gun over that way. Am I going to hit the target? No. So if I want to hit the target, what do I have to do? I have to repent. I have to change the direction of my gun to shoot the target. Am I correct? Because if you get out on this, you know, you get on the turnpike out here, and you're heading west, you're never going to wind up in Akron. Is that correct? At some point, if you want to wind up at the target, you have to change your direction. Or as Siri would say, rerouting. Y'all with me? All right, so what happens is God wants a relationship with us, and we're so busy doing all the stuff to cover up our emotional distress that we never press into a relationship with Him. We won't take time to pray. We won't take time to read the Bible. We won't take time to press into a relationship with God. Instead, we'll spend all of our time on Facebook or Instagram, or we'll spend all of our time doing whatever it is that gives us an emotional buzz. So to get to what God made you for, you have to do something. It is called what? Repent. You have to change the intention and direction of your heart from whatever it is that's giving you your emotional buzz into the presence of God. You have to change your direction. You have to repent. Because God knows how to give you emotional and spiritual fulfillment that actually gives you strength of character and strength of understanding and peace and joy and love and a direction for your life that is wonderful. God wants to give you all of that, but it's in relationship. Are y'all with me? I know this is Christmas morning, but that's why Jesus came. Jesus came so that we wouldn't have to live under the shadow of the rules. We could walk in relationship. Now, a couple years ago, I was having a bad time. So our band's going to come forward at this time. And I was having a bad time a couple years ago, all right? Bad time. We were building our first building. I don't know why anybody thinks a pastor wants to build a building. Because the last thing a pastor really wants to do is build a building. Because it takes it out of you. So we're gonna have a fun year this year. Please remember me in prayer. I'll need it on a regular basis so I don't kill contractors and other people. But anyway, we were in the middle of our first building. I was emotionally drained. I was physically drained. I was at the end of myself, and I go to Big Prairie Campground, those of you that might remember that place. I'm there for a minister's retreat, and it's there, the altar call of the service, and I'm just at the end of myself. I'm emotionally bankrupt. And here I am. It's altar time, and they give an altar call, and I don't even remember what the sermon was about. It doesn't matter. My emotions weren't stirred. I was just desperate. And I went up to the altar, and I knelt down at that altar on the left-hand side there in the tabernacle. I remembered the stairs were there, and I put my head on the second step, and I said, God, I'm about as empty as a human being can be. But you know what? It'd be all right if I could just see you. In that moment, I've had two visions in my life. In that moment, I saw a vision. It was clear as a bell. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls at night and seen the water pouring over the edge like that? And especially when they light it up with the white lights. It was something like that, except it was clouds. It was more than you'd get at any good rock concert in the world. I mean, it was smoke billowing over the edge of a ledge. And it was brilliant, bright light. And that's all I saw in my brain. It was about a one-second vision. And I saw it, and I was like, oh, God, don't kill me. I don't know what came over me. I have never felt such an intensity of presence in my entire life. I hit the floor. I mean, I'm like bawling. You see, I'm not afraid to die. I've never been afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. But the words that came out of my mouth is don't kill me, because I wasn't really worrying about dying. I was worrying about never wanting to get back into that presence again. I was afraid if I died, I would never get back there again. I don't know how to explain it, because I don't mind dying. Dying, I don't give a rip. But I don't want to be shut out from that. And I was, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I left a big puddle on the floor, and I got it from there so refreshed, so inwardly renewed. So the next morning I opened my Bible. Unplanned opening of my Bible. Well, planned always, because I have patterns. I don't hit and miss my Bible reading. It's planned. And the next day, God knowing what would happen before, He set me up to read Psalm 18, and it said, out of the brightness of His presence, clouds roll, I believe it is. Out of the brightness, remember what I saw was bright light and clouds rolling off a ledge. I didn't even get close to God's face. And I was renewed and refreshed and given life and hope and a future. And I walked out of that place ready to go take on the world again because I got close to God's face. This morning, sin is keeping some of you from God's face. It's keeping you from His face. You can't connect with Him because your life is so laden with your own, I'll do it my way sinfulness. And I want to give you one word today. Repent. Change your direction. Repent. Turn back to God. There's others in this room, you need the presence of the Holy Spirit. You need the face of Christ to renew you, to give you hope, to give you life. Our prayer team is going to come forward right now. I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me in this room. We're going to sing a couple of songs. I'm going to pray a prayer of benediction over you in just a second. But as our prayer team comes forward, I want to ask you this morning, if you need to repent, would you come up and would you talk to one of these in our prayer team? And would you just simply have them lead you through a prayer of repentance? Come on, turn your life back to Christ. Maybe you've got other things that are in the way. There's physical needs or sickness or you need healing or whatever it is. I'm going to ask you to come forward and have them pray with you. Maybe you want to turn at your seat. You want to just kneel. Maybe you want to come to this altar. But I want to tell you something. There is a presence of Christ that can renew you, that can give you hope, that can give you life. Father, lead us to the face of Christ, we pray in the name of Jesus.